This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2017, held in Sugar Creek, Ohio on March 3 and 4.
Good morning. There is a front row here. If anybody would like to move up, they can. I'm going to try to speak loudly and so everybody can hear. I didn't know how many handouts to make, and tried to kind of find out from the person who was registering, and they didn't know either, and I brought my master's along, and so somebody's going to try to copy that, I think. So hopefully you'll have notes a bit later. While everybody's coming in, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Clara Beiler, and I'm married to Nolan Beiler. Dr. Beiler, as some of you know. He's been in practice, has a family practice for about 37 years now. And we have a busy family of, let's see, five daughters and four sons. And five of them are married, and two of them are in VS right now. And let's see, our youngest is 17, and she's in her last or next to last year of high school. And my husband was never a board member of a school because we homeschooled our children, so I have a little different perspective of educating, but still understand, you know, some of the things that you're experiencing too. I taught school before I was married and loved it, and so then I continue teaching our children at home. Nolan was also ordained to the ministry in 1985, so that would be 32 years ago. And he's been on a number of other boards. And so I'm hoping I can present this in a way that is applicable to you, even though I'm not a board member's wife or in school administration, which I think most of you are. My goal for this workshop today was, or is, to realize the responsibility of enabling our husbands in their ministries, whether it be school administration or, other boards that you could be serving on, your husbands could be serving on, but maybe a broad range of ministries. And to have vision for whatever ministry that he's serving on, and how to enable him to do this most effectively. So my workshop is entitled, Her Husband is Known in the Gates. And it's taken from Proverbs 31, verse 23. A well-known proverb says, behind every man is a good woman. The value of a godly wife is illustrated from the life of Daniel Webster. By age 31, Daniel Webster had become known as one of America's most effective speakers. One of Webster's earlier biographers, Norman Hapgood, assigns much of the great orator's success to the quality of his marriage to a woman named Grace Fletcher, whom he married at the age of 26. Of her, the writer says, she had the goal of keeping alert to those high principles which her husband held. Her upright New England faith and sweet loyalty must have been one of the strongest barriers resisting the temptations which lay before the impressionable statesman. When Grace Fletcher Webster died, Daniel remarried a year later. The biographer said of Carolyn Roy, his second wife, she brought him money and social position and nothing else that could be traced to his life. 2 years into that marriage, it was said of Webster, he steadily declined from a height at which his altering nature could no longer sustain itself. Daniel Webster began overeating and drinking, his spending habits soaring out of control, and his moral life disintegrated. By the end of his political life, the man once known for his great integrity had become typed as a political compromiser. Tragedy mounted upon tragedy, and when he died, he was a beaten and bitter man. Let's look a little bit at the background of this verse, Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. One measure of a wife is the reputation of her husband. When she fulfills her role well, he will have the confidence and freedom to engage in higher callings among men. Her faithfulness and productivity provide the help that make ordinary men great and great men greater. This verse is in the middle of a queen mother's description of the perfect wife for her son, known as the Proverbs 31 woman. This proverb is really about women, not men. I often wondered, why is this verse stuck in the middle of all those verses, like verse 10 to 31, when it's talking about, the virtuous woman. And when I did this study for this topic, it just all came out very clear to me that the reason he was known in the gates was because of his virtuous wife, or one of the reasons. You know, I'm sure there were other factors that played into his life too, choices that he made and following God's leading. But it is important that we as women are virtuous and know how to enable him to be known in the gates. I really think this proverb is really about women more than about men. This verse especially. Don't get distracted by a wise man being known among the elite of his city. Part of the reason for his good reputation is the jewel he married. Now, how many of you think you're jewels? Well, it says that who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. So if you aspire to being virtuous and are able to reach that goal with God's help, you are a gem. Writing of the greatness of Mr. D.L. Moody, Professor Drummond says, if you were to ask Mr. Moody what, apart from the inspirations of his personal faith, was the secret of his success, of his happiness and usefulness in life, he would assuredly answer, and you know, it was Mrs. Moody that was his inspiration. Okay, let's look at traits that build up a husband. Found in Proverbs 31:10-31. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to that, that's okay. I'm just going to be pulling out some of these. There's really a lot more that I could talk about. One of them was that he can always trust her with men or money. Proverbs 31:11-12. 11 says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And 12 is, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then she is creative and diligent to make sure the household is well cared for. 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She does anything to build the estate, including outside jobs and investments. Well, how many of you have bought real estate lately, piece of land? How many of you are investing in real estate property? Probably not, but that's what she did. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. Well, you plant gardens, and you're doing a number of these things. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And the next one I have is, she eagerly helps those in need. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Her speech is always kind and wise. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The next one I have, she keeps her body in appearance up to please him. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. What drives and motivates her? It is the fear of the Lord. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that last verse, notice her husband's public praise of her many accomplishments. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about sitting in the gate and what that all entailed. Being part of a city's protection, besides being part of a city's protection against invaders, city gates were places of central activity in biblical times. It was at the city gates that important business transactions were made. Court was convened, and public announcements were heralded. Accordingly, it is natural that the Bible frequently speaks of sitting in the gate or of the activities that took place at the gate. Back then, cities did not waste money on the bureaucracy and costly buildings. It was a high honor, and it reflected business success and wisdom for a man to sit in the gate. Fools were not allowed there. Proverbs 24:7 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Well, let's think of some ways that we can enable our husbands to serve, or how that is done. The first one I had to think about was serving our husbands with honor, because that idea is in that verse. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he taketh his seat among the elders of the land. Proverbs 31:23, the NIV translation says, uses the word respected. The terms is known and well known, as in the King James Version, means that a virtuous woman's husband is respected not only by his own, but by his community and elders. Respect for a husband begins and ends at home. So let's think a bit about the verse in Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Think about this image of a wife as a crown for her husband. So who wears a crown? Someone of royalty or great stature, likely a prince or a king. Yet how do you know that he has that high position? By the crown he wears on his head. Without the shiny gem-studded crown, he would just be seen as an ordinary man. But it is the crown that shows off his true position, the truth about who he is. In this simple picture, we can see how a wife has the opportunity to show the world the truth about who her husband is. By her behavior, she can showcase whether he is just an ordinary man or whether he is one who stands above the rest and is worthy of respect. In this way, our actions as wives affect more than just ourselves. They directly reflect our husbands as well, even if they had nothing to do with the action in question. And when we choose to wield it wisely, conducting ourselves with noble character, a wife becomes a crown that her husband can wear with great honor. It is a truth that is quite powerful. It can be something of great opportunity to shine for the sake of our spouse, or it can be one that begets misery, bestowing instead disgrace or rottenness to the bones. The difference depends completely on how we treasure this truth. Okay, let's look at some areas of respect. First one I have listed is respect gives a husband the belief that he can do hard things. It is like wind in his sails. Respect acknowledges his leadership and discourages passivity. Controlling mothers raise passive sons. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or heard that. Because of the role model that our children have, they model what they see in the home. So it's important that we as wives, if we want to raise sons with strong leadership skills, that we're not running the home or wearing the pants, as they say. Respect is felt when we affirm or build up with our words. A wife shows respect to her husband, both by how she speaks to him and how she speaks about him. Respect is shown when we trust his judgment. Even if we don't totally agree with it, we still respect his judgment. He makes the decision. The buck stops with him. Okay, another area that I think is very important. Serving alongside your husband with humility. Andrew Murray summed it up this way: humility is nothing but the disappearance of self in the vision that God is all. Resist the temptation of pride in position or social standing in the community, or in other words, being known in the gates. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility, Proverbs 18:12. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom, Proverbs 11:2. And then another scripture that points this out: for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted, Luke 18:14b. This seems to be a paradox, but it is the secret of humility. To have godly leadership, we must be Christ-like in servanthood. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls," Matthew 11:29. Learn to serve through your husband. And I want to be real with you this morning and just share a little bit some of the lessons that I learned. I had struggled with this intensely, how to serve when I needed to just be at home with the children, doing whatever I needed to do to enable him to do what he has to do. In the earlier years of our marriage, I struggled with Nolan's practice, the many nights without him, interrupted plans, home alone with the children, and people always needing him. He is a baby doctor, so it's on call a lot of the time, and he's delivered lots of babies, and they come all hours of the day, all hours of the night. As you all know, if you had children, that's just how it is. You can't plan when a baby will come. So, people always needing him. I realized that I'm going to have to figure this out, or I need to learn how to cope with this. And, get some ideas on how to balance this out with family life and our marriage and so on. So I began to just ask the Lord for direction in that and to help me to figure this out. With the Lord's help, I began to view his work as a ministry. That's what came to me was, this. I need to look at this as a ministry. My ministry as well, okay, because I am married to this man, all right? And that I was really serving through him by allowing him to minister to others without resentment. And you know what? Once I stopped resenting, I started developing compassion and care for his patients as well. So I used the same thought process with his church work and the different boards that he serves on. So I don't know if that's helpful to you in your situation. I don't know if you feel burned out, with your husband on the board of the school, and I don't know. I don't know where you're at in this. But I just thought I'd share that. If I am in the shadows, on the sidelines, behind the scenes, keeping the home fires burning, or whatever you want to call it, I am just as important as if I were out front doing the actual serving. Sorry. I'm still feeling this a lot, feeling it deeply. I love this word picture found in Isaiah 49:2. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Isaiah 49:2. I love the idea of being in the shadow of his hand, being in the Lord's protection. You know, I've grown the most in the shadow condition, giving my wants and desires to Him, learning to have my needs met in Christ. You know, your husband can't meet all your needs. You all probably have realized that. We have to look to God for that. And as soon as we learn that in our life, in our whatever we're doing, the better off we are, the easier it is for us to realize fully his purpose for us. In my pursuit of humility, I have felt the most loved, learned valuable lessons, and felt protected from the onslaughts of Satan. It's a wonderful place to be. Okay, my next point is serving as a helpmeet to your husband. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Genesis 2:18. Woman was to be a helper, suitable for him, a helpmate, in other words. You know, wives have an awesome responsibility to take care of their husbands. Now, we're not their mamas, but we take care of them, don't we? Yeah, we are their helpmate, and to help him in whatever ways he needs. This is how we enable him to serve, so that he can be known in the gates. He can be free to serve. Some ways to be a helpmate. One of the areas that we really had to work on because of his busyness was just to manage time management. Redeeming the time or making the most of every opportunity requires organization. Time is a resource of which we must be faithful stewards. Faithful stewardship requires schedule, an organizational plan for managing and organizing time. Without it, time will be wasted and haphazardly used. Think of Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. I think it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, and redeeming the time, for the days are evil." That means making good use of the time that you have. And so here are just a few tips. I'm sure all of you have figured this out, but just to remind us, you plan your work and you work your plan. You use a daily planner or make lists, and together with your husband, you do some long-range planning for the year. And then at the end of the month, you plan your next month. At the end of the week, you plan your next week. Each day you glance at your daily page or your lists and check off as you accomplish the goal. So the big thing in time management is planning. But the flip side to that is that you need to be flexible and realize that there are different seasons of life. And I really know that. We had a big family, and there were just times when all I could do is just the basics, and that's okay. Now I'm in a different season of life, and I can do more than that. I can do other things. I can serve in other ways. Yeah, it's just you realize that, and you don't measure yourself or compare yourself by what other people do. Most importantly, you give time to God. But you do need to prioritize. So now you're thinking, well, how do I prioritize? Well, this is just a few ideas here. The 10-year test. Somebody told me about this one. Will my decision be important 10 years from now? Well, obviously, there are some things that you have to decide about there may be things that are neither here nor there, but they have to be done in order for your family to function smoothly. Okay, but I'm thinking like major decisions maybe, or and there are times when you need a getaway, you need to be rejuvenated, have some R&R, and that there's nothing wrong with that. You don't always have to be serving people in order to be in God's will, if you know what I mean. There are times you do need to get renewed. But generally speaking, people should have first place in your schedule as much as possible. Okay, so the 4 D's of prioritizing. This isn't original with me. I don't even know where I got it, but I have used this many times. It's actually very simple, and probably all of you do this to some degree. But it's kind of easy to remember when they all start with D, and I think, okay, now what? Which of the D's can I use here when I'm prioritizing? Well, the first one I have is drop. Look at your life, plans, and schedule, and you keep family and church first. Then you just drop what is least important or productive and simplify your life as much as possible. Now, this is just in a general way. You all have different things that you have to consider. So it's easy for me to say this, probably, and you're thinking, well, what should we really do? This is where you need the Lord's wisdom. Pray to Him about it. The next D I have is delay. Continue to look at your list and find the items that could be delayed for the time being. This doesn't mean, you know, that those things are unimportant that you wanted to do, but rather that they can wait. So sometimes there are certain times of the year that we are busier, and certain times of the year that we maybe aren't quite as busy. I don't know. Most of you are just busy all the time, aren't you? I'm trying to think of an example. Well, that closet just needs cleaning out really badly, but I don't have to do it this week. I can wait until next week, or I could wait until next spring when I'm doing more of the cleaning, okay? That's a simple example there. Okay, then the next D, and this probably would pertain more to you, those of you who have children that are old enough to work and help out, and not to maybe someone with just a newborn, but or someone whose children who you have an empty nest or whatever. But I found this very important or very helpful. Ask others to do more things around the house so that you are free to meet the goals that need our input and guidance. And lastly, do. Finally, after we have dropped, delayed, and delegated everything we can, we now have the important things left to tackle. A little less to do will help us enjoy life with more or with less. I'm thinking about, you know, back in the days when, I was just really busy with little ones and you know how it is, Saturday night comes around and you haven't gotten done what you wanted to, and the temptation is just to, you know, just plug away and get it done instead of realizing that I need to prepare for the Lord's Day tomorrow, and not everything has to be done. And I remember time after time going through this list and just deleting, delaying, and I was able to get through that all right, you know, and you can too. You don't have to do everything. And the thing is, some of us, and I needed to do this, the whole thing of perfectionism, you have to give that to the Lord. Sometimes we think things have to be perfect. And I realized that was something that I was, I had to give that. I guess I called it the God of perfection in my life. And I wanted to have the Lord be first. And so there were times when the house was a mess, and things weren't done. But I lived through that, and I'm fine today. And so can you be. All right, let's go on to home organization. Well, home is your domain. Back to the Proverbs 31 woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household. When our homes are run smoothly, our husbands can freely pursue their God-given callings and ministries. But when it gets out of control, it is a distraction and a constant drain on your spiritual and physical energy, as well as your husband's. When your home is organized, the clutter is under control, the stuff is subdued, and the children know where things should go. Some of the basic areas in home management that most of us struggle in are meal planning and keeping the house clean and getting the laundry done. Those are kind of three basics, especially when you're in the middle of raising a family. And since this, our workshop here isn't about that, I'm not going to get into that any further, but yeah, I had to learn some tips on that too. You know, your home will be more organized when we plan your meals in advance and have scheduled days when you do laundry and cleaning so the family knows what to expect and how to help. Mrs. Henry Clay, the wife of the celebrated American statesman, during her husband's long and frequent absences from home at the seat of government, used to take the reins into her own hands at the farm. She made a practical study of agriculture, oversaw the overseer, and became an oracle among the farmers of the neighborhood. Preparatory to Mr. Clay's departure from home, she invariably received from him a handsome check, which she as regularly restored to him upon his return with the remark that she had found no use for it. Everything just went smoothly while he was gone. All right, another area is just to have to be in a supportive role, and that is to build him up. I know we talked about that already in connection with respect. But this is a way to show support, too. Words of affirmation are one of the five basic love languages. Be his biggest fan, his loudest cheerleader, if you will. Words of encouragement affirm the self-worth of your husband and bring out his full potential. Mark Twain once said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." Listen to his ideas and share his vision. I often sit and listen to Nolan discuss the various board meetings he goes to. I listen because I am interested and have vision for what this organization is doing. But also by listening, I can hear and sense what he is feeling. This enables me to know how to encourage him. And then another area is to pray for his ministries or his board work, his meetings that he goes to. This is where major decisions are made for any organization. Pray for wisdom from God, who giveth to all men generously, without finding fault, and it will be given to you, James 1:5. Pray for vision. Go along with him when he has board meetings, especially if they're out of state or take some time away. I do that all the time with Nolan when he goes to his Christian Aid Ministries board meetings, and I have found wonderful friends there among the board members' wives. A couple of them are sitting here. And it's just a time to connect with others and, yeah, share your journey and laugh and talk about ideas. And, yeah, just it's a really good time. You make really good friends that way. I hope you can do that, too, in your school board meetings, too. Another, just volunteering to help out with whatever the things are that need to be done that go along with the board meetings or the board work, I should say. It's a great time to show your support and provide companionship for your husband. In conclusion, a man who is known in the gates needs a woman with vision. Her perspective, faith, and support will change his reality. If she doesn't inspire him, then she is no good for him. Men who want to stay ordinary will not have high expectations placed upon themselves. But a man who will be known in the gates will be inspired to serve as she humbly honors him and supports his ministry. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we want to glorify you today. Just bless each of the sisters that are sitting here. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to honor our husbands as we humbly serve you. Help us to be helpmates for our husbands as you have designed us to be. And we want to give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.